Yay! We are gathered all at our homes now for an Elite After Hours. We have Hank with us. We have Joan. We have Maria right below me. And JD should be joining in anytime now. So we welcome questions, comments about any psychic work, spiritual practices, what you want to know our opinions or beliefs on any certain things. We'll answer them. But the only thing we're not going to answer is, you know, for like free readings, just because this is more of a loose laid back. There's that JD slacker walking in the background. get to know the readers a little better. So feel free to ask questions. Hi, Marlene. Hi, Linda. Magic Mike's in with us. Feel free to ask the questions. We'll answer. It might be a little sassy because we all are fresh off of a fair. Well, except for Maria. Maria wasn't here today.
Yeah, but she was working all day too. So
yeah. Hi, Mark. So Hank, he is a shamanic healer, energy level sound vibration healer. Joan, she is a tarot reader, Lenormand reader, Lenormand oracle, intuitive. Maria, chronic healer, Reiki healer. You've got so many initials after your names now, Maria. Certified hypnotherapist. when JD gets on, he's a spirit artist. So rather than drawing pictures of your spirit guide, it's a channeled message that comes through in artwork instead of verbal communication. So if you have any questions for anybody about their mode, their practice, opinions, thoughts, you know, feel free to type them into the comments. We'll answer you live. So this could be a fun and dangerous, sassy hour of information, I think. Joan, you were dressed up probably in the best costume today, the Moaned Myrtle from Harry Potter.
Yep.
You see,
I even frequented the bathroom as where Moaning Myrtle stayed. So
right.
You know, I gotta be authentic.
I really wish I would have had my shit together to have like your reading table, like your end of the table in the bathroom.
Well,
in the bathroom. So if you have any questions about readings or healings or, you know, we might keep politics out. You know, that's never a good fun topic.
No.
But
that makes people feel worse after you talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
very draining. Yeah.
This is supposed to be fun. I know one of the questions we had last time though, and I kind of saw it after we ended because of that little bit of a lag. And Joan, as a tarot reader, you might be the one to answer this one right now, but it was like what your favorite tarot card would be to see in readings come up.
Ooh, that's a great question. Okay. That's a, you know what? Oh, wow, there's so many. I mean, 78, but I mean, who's counting?
Well, might it also depend on the person? Like the person that you're there for, like it kind of can go based on who you're working with too.
Agreed. Totally agree. Because in some cases, although we say we don't want to see the Tower card or the Death card, depending on what it's coupled with, what it's paired up to, could mean a great combination. But I really like to see in people's readings the Six of Cups. We're looking at a card of innocence, innocent feelings. Remember when you had that first kiss or first love, or you know that pure innocent happiness of the night before Christmas when you couldn't sleep or the tooth fairy was coming. It's that feeling is that Six of Cups. Or the Three of Cups, which is the party card. Love it. And another one of my favorites there's two more. The Empress, because she can manifest anything and everything, and she rules the roost, and she's in charge, large and in charge, and takes care of business. And then the last one being the Strength card, and I equate the Strength card to Wonder Woman, her having compassion, but yet she's fair and firm. So
cool. So it's
four out of 78 is not bad.
Right? Next time you could work on narrowing it down a little more. You could try harder. So Mark wants to know if we have any suggestions on dealing with stress. And Maria, that probably falls to Maria and Hank as healers and energy practitioners. You know, maybe Maria, if you want to go first. There's JD, the slacker.
There he is. The foremost and one thing that you can do for yourself, if you can do meditation. You know, you could take about 15 minutes a day and meditate. It doesn't have to be a strict, you know, OM type of meditation. You can take a walk for 15 minutes. Pay attention to what's in front of you. And then it will train your mind. You're being so bad.
Mute you. There we go. Can you? Yeah.
You will train your mind to be focused and concentrate in the moment. How about you, Hank? What would you? Yeah.
Well, meditation for sure is like a great thing, especially if you can do it frequently enough where you, when you need it, you don't need to do it. Like you can get the benefits even when you're not meditating is when you have a real shift. But the other thing is you tend to get stressed when you have a point of view or a judgment about something. And if you can look at everything as that's an interesting point of view and you can take the judgment of something being right or wrong or good or bad off the equation, then you can just have the experience without the added stress. So it's kind of a little bit of a mind trick and it you just keep with it. But between that and meditation, that combination is amazing for stress.
Someone's not experiencing stress.
No, JD is mellow.
So Hank, question, is that part of Access Bars, some of that practice that you have?
Well, interesting point of view is an access bar technique. However, even if you go back, if you look at it, the shamanic point of view, they have hucha and they have sami. It's heavy and light. And you don't get caught up with it being good or bad. It's just how it feels to you based on your current vibrational state. And in that space, you just experience things and you're not having a judgment about it being right or wrong or good or bad. So though it's a modern concept in access, it goes back way further into other like more native traditions and things of that nature. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Let go of your hucha.
Hucha. Get rid of hucha.
Let's see.
Terrible. That's hard to let go of judgment, though.
What if it wasn't hard to let go of judgment? What would it be like if you could let it go with ease and joy and glory?
Well, okay. So when I read, I let go of judgment.
Mm-hmm. So you do let go of it. Now, can you let go of it when you're not in a reading?
Yeah.
and that's where it comes down to like really entering the space of responding to things instead of reacting, because when we're together and doing a reading, like we're completely congruent with ourselves. And that's why we can shed all those judgments so easily. It's in the mm-hmm. waking world where we're following into our well-trodden wagon ruts, they say, or the your routines where you start to go more on autopilot. Those are the places where we tend to go into judgment and reaction more quickly. But the more you meditate, the more you consciously use the tools all the time, all that mm-hmm. melts away and you have a much easier time when you're in like the day job and or whatever okay. is going on.
Well, speaking of judgment, one of our other readers who's in the comments, he's got a few questions for us. Zach Fiesel.
Oh. The
question is, how amazing is he? Do we miss him? And how special is he to all of us? Let go of the judgment, Zach.
Zach, we don't miss you, but we do have a preference for your presence.
Yes.
Yes. We do have a yes. Yes. We want to see you more often.
Yes.
Yes. Quit avoiding us by not coming around. I mean, seriously.
6 feet, please.
We're 10 feet away. We're social distancing, buddy. We love you, though. Let's see. We got a lot of hellos. We got Christine and Mark. So feel free, guys, to keep asking questions. But while we're waiting for the next question, you know, you guys, when you have somebody coming in and there's that old adage, like it's hard to do readings for yourself and maybe close friends and family members because you have too much information or preconceived notions. Like, do you find it harder to do readings for yourself, friends, family members because of that? Or are you able to kind of shut that down, step away, have no judgment, no bias. JD, you first, since you've been quiet, you haven't talked. Hmm? We can hear you.
You hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I do. I find it immensely challenging. It's not that, you know, it goes back to the judgment thing. It's not that it's not working and it's not happening. It's just that you, there's a part of you that can't help but question it because you already know some things. So it's like kind of like when someone points something out that's obvious, you know, how do you know that that's, it's not a, really a question of how you know. You have to obviously have to trust your process and et cetera. But it's just it, like psychologically, it's where the challenge can be. For me, one of the reasons, that's one of the reasons why, like when I do drawings, a lot of the drawings I do are actually remotely for people. And I prefer it that way because I know nothing. I never seen them, don't know a single thing about them. And it's just a clean slate. There's nothing to weed out. So for me, that's easier. But obviously that's just working through the process. As far as like the things when you know someone. Right? Everyone got real quiet. That was awkward.
Wrong answer, JD. That's why. No. Joan, do you have a hard time doing tarot readings for friends, family members?
I do, because they're always looking for an answer, specific. But sometimes what I have to do is go into my zone and not think of the situation, just focus on the overall situation from a high-level overview and kind of remove myself from the situation, and I get a better response from the cards.
Now, Hank, you do more healing work. Do you find it harder to do the healing work with somebody that you know because you might be biased?
Yeah, and the most unkind thing you can do as a healer is stick somebody with your point of view about whatever their situation is. And so when the closer they are to you, the harder that is to do. So like other than just a general type of thing, I don't facilitate family. And I found, especially for my, with my wife, if I try to go to use an access tool, my wife, it makes things worse. So as well-intentioned as a healer can be, facilitation around family sometimes can have that physics response where for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And it may be easier for them to get a healing from someone that is a little bit more detached from the situations.
All right. Last but not least, Maria.
I don't have that problem. I've done healing with my grandmother. I've done healing with an aunt. I've done with several family members. I guess it's up to the practitioner. It is so hard for some healers to separate themselves from the family member because of the emotion that's, you know, attachment there. But for me, I go into a trance, I go into a zone, and I know what my goal is, and that's it. So it doesn't matter if it's a family member or a complete stranger. I go into the same zone.
Cool deal. Mm-hmm. Now, Stephanie wants to know, how did you get started doing readings? And that might be more like Joan and JD, because you both do more readings than you do healing work. So Joan, how did you decide to come out of that reader closet and go public?
I think it was just practice. For years, it was, I had a deck of cards and I'd play with a friend, kind of, you know, hey, look at this, let me practice on you, or let me practice on a few other people. And I did practice on family, but it was just becoming more comfortable with the cards and watching videos and watching other people pull cards and do readings. I was trying to get a better feel for how they operate and how they communicate. And so it was attending development circles and coming to the store and finding like-minded individuals. And it's a matter of building confidence. And one day it was just like, you know what, let me just jump into the water. I still get nervous.
I got a lot of my development through group kind of meditation type stuff. And what's nice about that is you're in a comfortable zone. You're not really putting yourself out there. You're taking a step, but you're not taking a leap. where in a group of people, especially if you're working together, that you can kind of dip your toes in the water and throw that thing out that you got an impression of and see whether it makes sense. And, you know, from there you get some validation that builds your confidence in your process. And then it just, you know, it's like a snowball. It just keeps going from there. But that was, I would say, crucial for me, in just like private groups, you know, initially was a couple of developmental groups. And then it was just a group of practitioners that was, you know, it was really nice because it was the group was like, no one was trying to lead it. No one was trying to, you know, push their way of doing things. It was just completely open and balanced, which is really nice. So I was very fortunate for that. But in general, it's just finding an area of where you feel comfortable with it, whether it's with a friend or a few friends, that you can kind of dabble and experiment and see what works. And that what you do there is psychologically, you build a connection between that feeling when it's coming through intuition and the message that's coming through versus your regular thought, and developing that pathway more and more.
So back to the whole reading for yourself or family members, if it's hard, Zach put in that since personally as a Sag, you can't keep his mouth shut. He'll tell you straight up whether you're his sister or a stranger. So this is pretty true, which is what makes readings with Zach pretty fun, but kind of a could ride that fence of like boot to the ass. Are you ready to hear it or not? he's not afraid to spit the Florida water either. Or the rum. so Mark was wondering, he enjoys meditating, but if you have any tips on staying focused in meditation. And I know Hank and Maria, you guys probably do more meditation work, I think, between more so than Joan or JD. Maybe you need to meditate more. Hank, what are some tips for meditating? Because I know you and I talked like over the years about like the monkey mind and the wandering. Right. And
well, the biggest thing is just to not pay attention to it. When you find that you have slipped off and you're thinking about something else, just bring your focus back to the breath. But take note, just a brief note about what it was. If it's something like, I need to go shopping for this, or I need to go do that, and it's like surface level stuff, that is the mind desperately trying to deflect what is underneath. Because when you start to meditate, and one reason why people have so much resistance to meditating, it's like the boulder's getting heaved up. And when you start to meditate, all that stuff starts coming to the surface and the ego goes, I don't want to deal with any of that. And it tries to distract and distract and distract. So as you find those distractions coming up, you let them go. But if you notice something all of a sudden from third grade getting bullied on the bus, that's the thing to say, okay, that's one of the things that I need to work on. That is one of those boulders coming up that I know I need to heal. So use that monkey mind as a kind of a way to sift through everything. Is it my mind trying to distract, or did I just get a nugget of something that needs healing? But in the moment, you just kind of let it all pass. Just take a brief notice to it and bring your attention back to the breath. And be thankful for the monkey mind, because all that stuff churning is just your ability to get rid of all the distractions and actually get to the meat of what is going to start creating a lot of change in your life when you can start healing.
There is that. Like, oh shit, I have to deal with that now. Damn it. Subconscious throwing stuff at you. Maria, now you do a lot of meditation. So how did you be such a good person like in the meditation practice?
It wasn't easy in the beginning because of the monkey mind is going in your head. But what I did was I just let it run through my head, you know, and take a note of it and just start paying attention to my breath. And it takes a while. It really does take a while because you're in this process that you're in training your mind to get to this point where the monkey brain is not going to be there to interfere with your meditation. So it does take a while. Just be patient with yourself, but keep doing the meditation every day.
Even if you think nothing's happening, it's like you you show up and you suit up and you show up and you stay the course of the 15 minutes, even if you feel you got zero out of it, go back and do it again. And then mm-hmm. We talked about this on the stream yesterday, how eventually there's this tipping point and all of a sudden it goes from hard to easy. And then it's a whole different experience if you can get to that point, but you just gotta, stay the course.
Mm-hmm. Becomes a lot easier, feels more comfortable too, because you get kind of used to doing it.
Yeah.
Sandra was wondering, as healers and readers, did you ever have a circumstance where you couldn't finish a healing session or maybe reading session? Any of you ever come across that where you're in the middle and you're like, oh, this is done. Can't do it. Not for me.
Well, yeah.
No.
Well, we have to be honest. It's a yes. It's just okay. So, Melissa, if I'm reading you and all of a sudden stream just stops, I'll be like, okay. I will then go back over and summarize what I've just told you for the last 10 to 15 minutes and then just shut it down. Basically, it's like a light switch going off. If there's no more message for you, I will wrap it up with a summary and basically, ask any questions based on, what I have in front of me with the cards. It can stop. It can all of a sudden be like, okay, no more messages. We're done here. It's like the phone call shuts off.
Yeah. And that's, I'd agree. I wouldn't say a flat out no. But yeah, with what Joan was saying, sometimes the message is shorter or more direct or more focused. Adding more to it would just to put confusion around it versus it just being what it needs to be.
Well, we can't just go, sorry, no more, you're done, goodbye. there's a gentleness about that, because when we're hot and heavy in that message and we're conveying it and we're actually in that moment, we, even as being on both sides, as a reader, and then also as the person being read, there's something that I'm attached to in those words, and I want a closure, at least for that moment. And so I think it's just to be gentle, and you want to be concerned, because how is that person receiving that message as well? And so we just want to wrap it up and then go from there. That's all we can do.
Agreed.
I can't hear you.
I muted myself. I think that's one of the things. Well, not I think I know. When I interview readers and healers, not only am I looking for the accuracy and the knowledge of your craft, like I want to know if you're going to try and bullshit too. Are you trying to pull it out of your ass? Are you fishing for it? Are you, like if that stream shuts off, are you going to keep trying to force it? Or are you going to be honest with the client? No more's coming through. Here's what we have to go. These are your important points and wrap it up. Not keep trying to drag it out. And because, the whole important thing in working with the store is clear communication and some sort of healing coming out of that. And it's not healing to the client to sap them of the money, bullshit them, and pull it out of your ass. So that's a good, here's your bullet points. Have a great day.
Or sometimes you can give them a technique to take away with them, like a brief like energy technique that they like color mm-hmm. works or a meditation thing, and give them something to take away as homework too. If you have time left, you could still make it productive time without having to force a reading.
Right. Right. And I think most of the clients really appreciate that. They can kind of tell when you're forcing, when you're sapping, and it's just not what we're about. I mean, we are in the fun and shenanigans and the real thing, but we're not going to keep forcing that out.
Actually, my favorite story around this was at the store. There was two ladies that came in. One of them got a reading from me first, and the second one came in and they sat down and they just did one of these right away. And I'm like, you really don't want to be here, do you? They're like, nope. I'm like, she dragged you here to get a reading, didn't she? She's like, yep. I'm like, we don't have to do this. And she's like, great. And that was it. And then I let her out of the room. And then, but the thing was, like, as she was leaving the front doors, she turned and said, you know what? If and when I'm ready for a reading, you're the one I'm going to come to. Because she respected that that I recognized that and said, you know, we don't have to do this. If you don't want to be here, we don't need to do this at all. And they really appreciate, I think, that authenticity of when people can be honest like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Joan's back.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, I was there. I'm sitting here looking at myself and I'm like, okay, anyways.
I just stayed for a moment and came back. It was like the weird moon jumping around through the pipes. Like,
oh, okay. All right. Like a basilisk.
Right. I was trying to make that. Mark wants to know if anybody can become a reader, or do you have to have special qualities to do this?
Do you have to have good costumes? No, I'm kidding.
Only on Halloween.
For the Halloween.
A sense of humor.
You know, I would say most of us have some sort of ability anyway. I mean, when we're all little kids, our imaginary friends and being able to see things. And then a lot of us will have parents that will say, you know, quit talking to your imaginary friend. They're not real. You kind of learn to shut it off. And it's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you kind of lose it. And then it always hurts more to get back into shape than to get there and stay. Oh, no, JD. So, you know, I think just about anybody, you know, can, and we all have different degrees of what kind of psychic readings you can do and which ones are your strengths, which ones you might, you know, struggle a little more with. But I mean, that being said, you know, Hank, and given that the stream that we just did yesterday and how you decided to embrace, you know, would you think that anybody, given any of the circumstances people might grow up with, like anybody could become a reader?
And I think there's also to make the distinction, everybody's intuitive, and absolutely I would encourage everybody to develop that muscle, because whether you do this professionally to help people, or if you're just going to use it for yourself in whatever line of work you have, it's like going through life with no map or GPS to all of a sudden having a GPS. If you just put in a little bit of time to develop it, regardless of how much involvement you want with other people. But it's definitely something I think everybody can, just like a muscle, you know, you can develop it. Mm-hmm. And I like, my friend Ryan has an example. He says, everybody can throw a ball, like a baseball. Not everybody can throw it 100 miles per hour, hit a square this big. So everybody has that ability, and some people are gonna have more focus with that ability than others, but everyone can do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, Joan, you've...
Oh, right, great. Bring it up now, because I just got a text message that my mother is watching. I know she's watching because she said, I inherited this.
Mom's watching.
Uh-oh. Behave. yes. So it can be inherited, you know, passed down from generation to generation. And again, it's learning it, relearning it, learning how to use the muscle. You know, maybe you have to retrain yourself.
Another thing I think that plays into it, which might be a little bit off to the side, is that the process of trying to develop it, you really put yourself in a lot of internal inflection, you know, like really kind of reviewing your own processes and your thinking patterns and things like that. It kind of shines a light on a lot of that stuff. So even at the very least, if you put an attempt into it, you're going to get a lot of more self-awareness out of it, no matter how far you decide to take it.
And also use it as a play, you know, play with it. Don't analyze it. Don't overthink it. Use it as to play with. It's something you want to play with, and let it sit back and let it come to you, because it will come to you.
Well, Zach is saying that you definitely inherited stuff from grandma. My grandma. And one of these days, we're going to get grandma out of the reader closet and offer classy Hawaiian grandma readings.
I'm waiting. I will be the first one in line. I would love to see what. I know she's going to beat me up energetically because she'll just let me have it. But I want to be the first one if she ever does it.
I'm already thinking of a few key phrases she says, so be prepared.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Looky here.
Or when she's about to say something, she gives you that look. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. my God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
She gets that little head roll, you know, that she does. She leans forward and gives you the side
and
eye.
Then she gets you, and then that's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looky here. You come here.
And she gets close and she whispers it to you.
And by that point, she's hooked around your arm and she's bringing you in. Yes.
You can't run away. That's the whole reason. You can't run away.
And social distancing.
And you know you're in trouble, but you can't make yourself go anywhere. Like, you're going to willingly take it.
You got to get Grandma on a stream so everybody has, like, can see what we're talking about. Because if you know Grandma, everybody's getting what we're saying right now. And just know that it's just like,
The extreme close-up is a must.
Yeah. Even Laura, one of our other readers, Laura Bach, who comes to, like, the wineries, and she says, oh, my God, yes, all caps, Grandma readings, yes. So I'm telling you. Mark. Has questions like if dreams can be explained or are they just random craziness?
Yes.
They can be explained. Go on, JD.
One of the important factors is discerning whether they are or not, whether they're relevant. In on a very surface level, in a 3D world, realistic level, dreams are your mind kind of sorting. And it's almost, some like to call it like a defragging of your brain, for those of you who know what that is or remember what that is, you know, trying to get your ducks in a row. So it's very abstract because your conscious mind is asleep, or not your conscious mind, I forgot which part of the brain it is. Anyway, so sometimes it is just that. And typically you'll see that when it's obvious things that were involved in your day or things you've been thinking about or things like that, that aren't, there might be an ounce of intuition in it, but mostly it's your brain kind of working out processes and just like sorting things and being a little creative. That's why they can be so abstract. When they're more realistic, those are ones you might want to pay more attention to, especially if there's not some immediate relevance. You know, obviously if you fall asleep watching a particular movie and you have a dream that has references to that or the similar kind of feeling of that movie, then that's most likely your input. But when it's something that triggers you, when it fears come up and things like that, that aren't like on the surface level in your conscious mind, those are what you'd want to pay more attention to because there's deeper digging to do. digger deeping, yeah. So that's in a sense. So it could be either, it could be combinations and variations, but the real trick is weeding out whether it was just something that's an obvious reference to your day or your current state of affairs or whatever.
All right. So another question that we had from Otto, and Hank, this is directed to you. Says that you use bowls and forks to get these sound vibrations to heal your body. Do different octaves of a note have different effects? Can you achieve same effects by dialing the frequency of a note and sending it through the body using a Rife generator?
Well, Rife generators are a whole thing in and of themselves. But like if you have the frequency for a healthy chakra, like 136.1 is for the heart chakra. It's also the frequency of Om. If you just generate it on a tone generator, it will help it come into sympathetic resonance and balance the chakra. So whether you get an organ frequency, a chakra frequency, all those are going to help. What you miss out on with just a tone generator is the harmonics. So when you have a bowl here and a bowl here interacting and harmonic effects, that you can't get from just a generator, but they're both really good. Doing things on a tone generator are better than not doing anything at all. But a Rife machine is a whole world in and of itself, because you can get a frequency of a disease, do the inverse frequency and collapse the illness or whatnot. That's why it's not FDA approved and you can't easily get them right now. So that's a lot of information. Really.
All the noise making, Hank. That's why I keep you on the side of the wall.
Melissa runs away when I bring out the noisemakers. She's better than she was. She doesn't run away quite as much as she used to. And generally, different higher octaves are just good for clearing things. So I'll give one example from Ghostbusters, because 'tis the season, right? Remember, P. Peter Venkman is playing the two notes at the very high end of the piano. Do you know what I mean? He's like, they hate this. That's 4,096 hertz. It's the crystal tuner that Melissa sells, and it's like energetic sage. But if you keep reducing that frequency, you get all the way down to the Schumann resonance, which is like the pulse of the earth. So like at the lower frequency, it's what grounds us to this earth. And at higher and higher frequencies, it becomes a clearing tool. So the higher the octave, they definitely have different effects on the body and the energy field.
So Carol asked, what would be the best way to get an important answer from a deceased loved one? Maria, I think you're like the main medium here. I know Hank can get it sometimes in some of the readings if it's part of a healing session, and Joan doesn't like to claim mediumship.
Dreaming, dreaming, it's dreaming. The answer is dreaming, end of story.
Just like the living, the... they can present themselves, they can come in because they're curious what's going on, because you came here to see, you know, this person. I can't make them talk, though. I can't make them talk. I can't make them come. I can ask my guides to ask them to come in, whoever it is that you want to connect to, but I can't. If a relative does come in, it might be something that you need to know from that relative or something that you need to remember from that relative or that family member.
So you just kind of dial up the spiritual phone and hope they show up and answer.
I will ask them, but I can't make them come in. I can't make them, even if they do come in, I can't make, some of them are just lurking around and they just, you know, so I'm asking my guys if there's any messages. So yeah, I can't make them. Just like the living, I cannot make them. They have free will also.
I bet grandma could make them. They would be afraid of grandma.
Hello, dial dead.
Right. I have to plug my computer in, guys. My battery is like dying with the rapidness. Zach wants to know, what are our beliefs concerning death and dying, the afterlife, you know, reincarnation? What comes next? And I know the three top of us and our death rites, and I'm salty about the death rites not going.
Yes,
should.
We're working on a way to do it, so it's not out completely. So, okay, but anyway, we digress.
Right, Zane, if you're listening,
all that shaman talk up there.
The cool kids are up top.
Need the death rite the way it's supposed to be done.
Joan, are we just poof and gone when we die? What's going on?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, we got stuff to do. You know, we don't have, so I guess the best way to explain it, and I've heard it before, it's like having a car. You have a car, you need a new car, you replace the old car, it's done, you junk it, and you move on to the next car, next evolution. So you got this body, or as I've heard it referenced as a meat suit, you have this meat suit that you're using. It breaks down. You no longer need it. Yeah. You pick up, you take your little spirit self and you poof on into something else, either going to the next realm. You're going on to the next level. I call it like leveling up, like in gaming. You're leveling up. You're going to that next level. You move on. You could be in another realm. You could be on a star, another planet.
Dimension.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. But it's you still have work. We all still have work. Don't you shake your head? You signed the contract.
Oh, aren't there some affirmations I can say to void that contract? Isn't that how this works? Like, I'm open.
Yeah, no, good luck with that.
There's retrieval things you can do to go in and rewrite your contract. So,
I forget.
Start talking. Start talking. So, let's talk about that. Yeah, I want to hear about that.
No, well, there's different techniques in the Paco tradition, and this was in Zane's deep dive into soul retrieval that I don't know if Melissa did or not, but he went through a whole thing where you go to the Ucupacha, and there's like different realms in the underworld, and you have the ability to go in and renegotiate, like see the contract you wrote and renegotiate the contract and change things like that. But in general, like even taking a step back from that, point of view creates your reality. And what you experience in the afterlife will very likely be what your point of view was about the afterlife until you change your mind about it. And this is a principle in Neil Donald Walsh's book, Home with God, A Life That Never Ends. It's when you die, you experience exactly what you thought you were going to experience. So what the only thing that limits you is what would it take for you to have a different point of view or a different allowance of what's going to happen when you pass on? Because to Joan's point, you could be in another dimension, you could be a lot of these different things, but if you have the point of view that I'm going to be judged and I have to weigh my heart against a feather and all this, what if that's what plays out? Is because that's what you believed. And in the shamanic tradition that we practice, it's all about being as aware as possible, so that when you go through that river of forgetfulness or whatnot to the other side, that you can then make a conscious choice about what you'd like to do next and not be limited to a certain point of view or belief that you had in this life.
Getting all deep with the answers.
I am. Well, it's a deep topic. Like
getting in line at Cedar Point. What's the next ride?
Right. You know,
an hour and a half ride for Demon Drop.
But,
yay.
But that's why in some of the traditions, like if you look at the Egyptians, they would have someone after they passed, they'd be sitting there reading the books of the dead and like going through each bardo. Okay, you're now in this one. And the reason they're doing it is that they're help guiding that soul through to where they get to make a choice. So like when you're up about being judged, it's not about whether your heart weighs less than a feather or not. It's about saying, I'm not going to be judged, and you move on. And it's all these little things that help get you to the place where you can just have a more conscious choice about what's going to happen instead of falling into a judgment and a point of view. But because of this, now I have like a karmic thing that I have to go back and do this because of a point of view I had about it. So yeah, it's a huge question. It has to be a deep answer, right?
True.
To be continued.
Yeah, that could That's be a whole a final stream answer. In and of itself.
That could be about the afterlife. Another night. JD, yeah. what's your thought? What happens to us when we leave this?
Yeah, what do you draw?
I guess to in an extent, I believe in a combination of all of those, kind of similar to what Joan was saying. You know, ultimately, I really think everything is just energy perceived, and it's just through the vessel which we perceive that. So anything is game, is fair in that. I do, to some extent, to a pretty strong extent, believe in reincarnation, in the idea of repeating, not repeating, but returning to scenarios, if nothing else, or if you want to call them fields of energy that are going to give you a similar experience in order to grow. My personal overall belief is that everything is exponential growth. So whether that's through reincarnation, depending on what's needed, what's necessary, what's left to learn, left to understand, because learning is one thing and understanding is another. And sometimes they dance well together, but sometimes they don't. Reincarnation. I don't really subscribe to a heaven or hell idea. I think that's some blissful place or versus some horrible place. That doesn't make sense to anything that I've ever understood about the universe or spirituality at all. But that's also my preference, so take it with a grain of salt. I'd say that sums it up.
All right, Maria, you and I had similar death experiences during, I had mine during shaman training. You had yours through, it was the pranic healing, right? That you did like a death rites and.
No, I did the shaman death rite.
Oh, I thought you had like the same experience of like going to that source create point through.
No, I understand the process of it, of going through the pranic healing. I understand what cannot be touched at all, you know, I understand that. I understand the process of what Zane was doing. I just wanted to experience it. And I like to experience it again. Anyway.
We're not suicidal, guys.
I do believe that we do go to another dimension. This is just one part of the existence in the universe. And the universe is so vast and so big. That there's so many different dimensions. also, I do believe that we have, like, we pick certain lessons. So whether we're in the flesh, in the body, or in another dimension, there are lessons that we would like to learn to help us to evolve. I do agree with JD. I don't believe in a heaven or hell. I think that we are part of energy, and we just go ahead and just leave this existence to go to a different type of existence, you know, and just go through the lessons that we want to learn to go through the evolution.
All right. Well, we're actually already close to 9 o'clock. We got like 10 minutes left. So if there are any last minute questions or comments that you would like to ask in general or to one of the specific readers, now is your time, or you get to wait a month. We do this the last month. Yeah, no pressure. And go. We do it the last Sunday of the month at 8 o'clock. Coincides with our psychic fair that we do. So we all get home, we rest, we plug in, we answer your questions. Zach's Patton's back. I come up with great talking points, he says.
Well, here. I'm going to answer a question. Let me answer a question for someone who's asking it but is afraid to put it out there. And that is, the spirits are not more active during this season. They are active all the time. We are just more aware right now. So I know you were asking and you're thinking it, so I'm hearing it, and I needed to tell somebody. So there you go.
Well, I know, like, the question that's been going on around, especially with the Marianne events, is like, you know, the whole thinning of the veil, and, you know, in the comment that I was like, it's called a veil, not a bedspread. It's always thin. We just pay attention to it now at this time of year. And ghosts are more active, or spirits are more active all the time. Not just at 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark, you know? So it's a fun time of year, and all the misconceptions, the beliefs that come around. Otto says he once knew a midget fortune teller who was on the run from the police. He was a small medium at large, but on phones. Not only participating in the chat, but providing entertainment as well.
Yes.
And you heard the one about the twin witches, right? They couldn't tell which witch was which. So we can just throw another joke out.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That's like the perfect dad joke.
Isn't it? I am a dad, you know. So
okay. Who remembers the board game Witch?
Mm-mm. No.
Anyone?
Are you showing your age? No, what are you, like 80?
It was like Mousetrap, but a haunted house.
Really?
It was phenomenal.
All right, we're going to Google this. I need to see this.
Google it.
And that's a joke. It doesn't exist. See how many people go out to try to find it now. And it's a joke.
Like, how do we get them chasing after something that doesn't exist?
Game. Look at it. He's looking for it.
Yeah, I am looking for it. Which board game? It has a Wikipedia page. It's got to be a little bit legit. Yeah, which? There we go.
That's because he created the page.
Oh, look at that. No, it doesn't say it was crazy.
Yeah, because I have so much drive to get all this nonsense stuff done.
Well, you probably created the page earlier today, said, I'm going to bring this up. You probably have 100 ads on there, so you're making all kinds of cash now just for having ads.
Have you met me? Would I put that much effort in?
Okay.
Someone does remember it. Laura remembers it. She has it. Oh, she had it. Doesn't have it. If you had it now, JD probably paid top dollar for it because he wants to know.
And Sandra remembers that game too. So JD's got some validation. Whether or not he had to pay these ladies ahead of time to validate, that's the next question.
It's all part of this master plan.
Bribery and best. So maybe last question that popped up from Gina says, when I'm upset and crying, all of a sudden she'll feel okay. Is that spirit comforting her, do we think?
Spirit and angels, I think, both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or guides, whether they're angels or spirit, yeah.
Or maybe another aspect of you comforting yourself. There was a client who had this memory as a little girl of like an angel being coming and helping her. And then like later on in her life, like 30 years down the line, she had this journey experience where she went back in time and was comforting herself. And she realized it was an aspect of her comforting her in a moment of need. So really all kinds of things are possible. The important thing is that you're willing to receive that comfort.
That's mind bending.
Like my brain hurts now, Hank, stop it.
It's like Back to the Future, you know?
I'm with Hank on that one. It's like a whole Bill and Ted's going back in time.
Back in time, yeah. Now available in 4K for the first time.
And I've had similar thoughts. Like sometimes, like of course, you know, when you're really in a good place and, you know, you got all this energy and it's like, what do you do with it? And it's like, well, maybe you should like, you know, obviously you might do your like prayer circle or healing circle or, you know, list or whatever you do. But send some to yourself in another state, because there's other times where you might be the one that needs it. And because time doesn't really exist other than how we perceive it. So there's no reason that's not completely possible.
That's a whole nother conversation.
There's even a whole technique where they teach you how to send healing through time and space and encourage you to send it back to when you needed it the most. And if you do stuff like that, it can fast track your journey in terms of shedding all that heaviness and hoochie from your life.
And you can turn that into a practice to where, like if you're sitting there and having regrets about something or reliving something, to literally focus on that time instead of just feeling it in that moment and feeling like you're going through it again, actually project backwards to that, to what you needed when that happened or what could have helped you when that happened, things like that. And that just kind of has positives unfolding on and on and on.
That's one of the practices of Reiki. So as a Reiki master teacher, you want to send healing to the past, to the present, to the future. And so what you're doing is you're healing it and sealing it. Done. What is wrong?
I'm trying to get comfortable. It's not working.
Are you not comfortable? Maybe you need to send more healing back to your former self to heal your future self.
Maybe we should end JD's misery and comfort. It's 9.
Thank you for everyone for coming out tonight.
Yes.
Both at the show and on the after hours.
I think it's fun. This is what, like the third or fourth one we've done. It's always fun. And we get some really good questions from everybody. And so sometimes some of the readers change out. Like Hank, this was the first time we got to bring Hank in. We may have to pull Zach into one of these and make him to show up to one of the fairs. Slacker. Yeah.
Drag him in.
Right.
No, we'll need a bigger screen for that eagle. I'm kidding, Zach.
I
don't even know him that well, so I can totally mess with him.
You live where you live, and I can feel it coming.
Bring it out. A little energetic toupee, yeah?
Right. Oh, yeah. Can you feel the Florida water being spit at you from here?
I got cases of Florida water I can spit back.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you'll join us again for the next Elite After Hours, which would be the last Sunday in November, which trying to get my phone to cooperate here, will be November 29th. So November 29th, 8 o'clock, think of questions, have them ready. We'll answer them live for you. Joan, JD, Maria, you guys got anything last to say on our way out?
Nope. Just keep talking to the spirits. You know, be gentle. They have messages for us just like we have messages for them. So keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
That's
relationships
all.
Never end. They just change form. And it's just a matter of tuning in to how it is now if you lost somebody. Yep. So.
And be gentle with yourself. Do practice your self-care. Yes.
All right, JD, words of wisdom. Now that you're comfortable.
I think we got it.
You're good? Okay.
We're good.
All right, everyone. With that, we are going to say goodnight. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again. Bye.
He's out.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.